Let me just say a few things, because we're entering into the summer months, right? And that's a good thing, because I really believe Michigan has like the best summer. I think it's perfect weather, right? It's not like you live in Florida and the humidity's so high that you have to stay inside all summer, but it's not also like it's 50 degrees, like Alaska. It's like just perfect, I think, our summers are. And so I know we're cooped up for like 5 months of the year because it's cold out, but, and I know you guys wanna get out and do things, which is fantastic. I'm with you on that. But at the same time, we don't wanna negate authentic biblical community as well during all the midst of what summer brings us. So just a few announcements here this morning. Number one is, if you as a parent have a teenager going to NTS camp in a few weeks, never the same camp, parent meeting right after our third service. So we're gonna say, get here by 12:30, and Pastor Ryan will lead that meeting right in this room, okay, right after service. Second of this, of all, is we have groups going on, and Pastor Pam will be at our Radiant Groups banners out there to get signed up for a life group. Now, our life groups are all sermon-based groups. So you're digging into the sermon with more questions and digging into the message a little bit more. And so that's a great way to connect. And so you can go see Pastor Pam after service out there to connect in a life group. And also right after this service, as well as right after our third service, is we have our D group training. Now, D groups stand for discipleship groups. And I've led two of them in the last couple of years. I've led two of these. And Pastor Brandon's gonna do a training. And what those are more organic groups. Here's what I mean by that. We do training for leaders. You never sign up for a D group. What happens in a D group is the leader will select 3 to 4 people, same gender, to journey together for at least a year every week for high accountability. And also, you're like, what's the curriculum? God's word is your curriculum. You guys are gonna read the same thing. You're gonna come into a meeting and you're just going to discuss, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? What are you gonna do about it? And how's your holy living? And so that's what we do in a D group. It gets us into God's word. It helps us say, this is what God showed me and this is what I'm doing about it, and hold me accountable, and how's my holy living as God calls us to be holy, for he is holy. And so that's what D groups, I love D groups. And so if you want training and you're interested in being a leader to lead one of yours, again, it's high accountability. You don't get to decide, well, you know, I did it for like 12 weeks and now I'm done. No, you're going 52 weeks. High accountability. And I know some of us just got sweaty palms by saying 52 weeks. We get it. Every once in a while you're on vacation or whatever, but if you can show up to your D group for at least 48 of the 52, you're knocking it out of the park. The problem is this, is I never want to lower the bar to discipleship, because Jesus never did. Jesus raised the bar, and that's why people left following him. And we're never going to be a church that lowers the bar. We're going to be a church that raises the bar for discipleship, going after Jesus. So we have that training after second service, this service, and after our third service as well. Not only that, another thing is that, men, tomorrow at 6 o'clock is your snack luck. So men, you're gonna meet here tomorrow, right by the soccer field. There's a huge tree. You're gonna meet right there. Bring a snack, pass it around. If you're good at ribs, bring smoked ribs, okay? Just bring it there, and it's a snack. It's just a great time to get out of work and just connect with some dudes from church. It's just a hangout, low class, or not low class. That's low commitment is what I meant, because it's not like you're gonna get into deep stuff. It's just connecting with dudes. That's all it is, okay? It'll be high class if you bring smoked ribs, though. Okay, so you're gonna wanna bring that. A couple things, let me give you the lay of the land moving into the summer for Radiant Life, okay? We're in between series. Actually, before I say this, let me say this. Some of us have been wondering what's going on with my wife and her cancer diagnosis and everything. Tomorrow we leave again, so we'll be gone all week, back to City of Hope Cancer Center, just north of Chicago. And we'll get her new scans and then make a plan from there with the specialist. So that's just an update. We'll be gone all this coming week as we travel tomorrow morning to get over there to see what the plan is and what lies ahead. Okay. So for us moving forward, though, we're in between series. And so next week, we're not going to kick off a new series yet. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look back at this past year, and we're going to do an RLC Celebrate. We're just going to see how God's been moving and what he's been up to with a little vision for the future at RLC Celebrate. Not only that, you'll have an opportunity to get new RLC merch also that day, okay? So some of you have been lovingly, like a dripping faucet in my ear about that. Here you go, okay? So RLC Celebrate next week, which will be a lot of fun. And then right after that, we're gonna jump into our summer teaching series together. We're gonna look at the, as it's known as, the best sermon ever preached. It is Jesus's words found in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7, known to you and I as the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're gonna look at Jesus's words and what this kingdom is all about. And we're calling it the Right Side Up Kingdom. And we are gonna do expository teaching from Matthew 5 all the way to Matthew 7 and figure out what is Jesus doing as he's talking about the kingdom of God and how it gets played out in our lives. So we're gonna look at the words of Jesus, dive in to understand what he's saying, and then apply it to us. How do we live out these kingdom principles, this gospel-saturated life that Jesus goes up on the hillside at the Sea of Galilee and then preaches to the people about this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And I'm gonna warn you, if you've ever read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it gets spicy, it's challenging. Because God's kingdom should be challenging us to an upside down culture we live in because it's been tainted by sin. And so it's challenging. I'm so fired up for this one. Okay, I'm so excited. All right, so that will be our summer teaching series we launch in 2 weeks together. And so I hope during that you bring your Bible. Man, mark it up. Phone's great, but paper's better, okay? Phone's great, paper's better. So I hope during this series that you really would bring your paper Bible and be willing to bring a marker or a pen or whatever, and let's mark up the Sermon on the Mount together. You know what would be my goal? This would be so awesome. This has nothing to do with anything I'm going to say. I just thought of this. I want an iPad that would reflect the Bible verses on the screen while I circle, draw arrows, connections, and it's live on that screen. I'm just saying, that would be awesome. Anyways. So today, my teaching devotion is this. I truly believe if we're gonna come fully alive and be fully alive disciples, we have to be leaving Egypt. We have to be leaving Egypt. And I know scripture talks about a lot of generational age things, particularly Timothy and Titus, if you read those letters. Timothy and Titus talk about older men. How many of you are older men? Okay, good. I don't know where the age cutoff is, by the way. How many of you are younger men? Some of you are lying. You have gray hair and you're saying you're a younger man. Okay, older ladies. How many of you would say, I'm an older lady? There you go. All right, younger ladies. How many of you are younger ladies? How many of you just didn't care and didn't raise your hand? Gotcha, all right. Scripture's very clear on some of these things. What's interesting with Titus and Timothy is that there's a clear delineation here of saying younger men. He's calling out younger men, and here's what he tells younger men. Please lean in. I would say if you're a young adult, please lean in. What age is that? Let's just say 30 and younger. Sorry, 30-year-olds, you're like, dang it, I'm old. Yes. Okay, 29 and younger, lean in. If you're a younger man in that age bracket, we are encouraged to teach you to be self-controlled. That's what scripture says. To teach younger men to be self-controlled. I think if you're gonna become a fully alive disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to learn to be self-controlled, and part of that is leaving your Egypt. And it says to the younger ladies, it says, older ladies, you ought to teach the younger women how to love well. Oftentimes we don't love well because we're still stuck in Egypt. And then he's got a lot to say about older men and older ladies, by the way. At Proverbs 31, many of you, if you grew up in the church, you knew the Proverbs 31 woman, to be of noble character. In order for you and I to have noble, not me, I'm not a woman. If in order for you as an older lady to have noble character, you must leave your Egypt. We gotta leave our Egypt. Let me tell you, if you have your Bible, and I want you to just soak in this week, turn with me to Exodus 14 and 15. That's where I'm going to be. I'm just taking a couple verses, but if you got time in your quiet time, read Exodus 14 and 15, and I'm going to get us there. But I got to do a little bit of teaching. A guy by the name of Moses in the Old Testament at this time became a leader. God raised this guy up. And the issue is the Israelites, they aren't known as the Israelites yet, by the way, in scripture. They're known as the Hebrew people because on the world stage, they aren't recognized as the Israelites until they get into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And they develop their kingdom and now they're known as the Israelites. So at this time, they're only known as the Hebrew people and they've been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Think about this, generation after generation, getting the Egyptian culture inside of them. And God uses a man by the name of Moses to deliver them from Egypt, to get them out of the slavery of Egypt and work their way to the promised land known as today Israel. And it was in there that God used a man by the name of Moses. And Moses is going to say something as he's leading them out to a future promise. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Deuteronomy, also known as Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 says this. This is Moses speaking. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him. Moses is saying, a prophet like me. Moses will deliver the Hebrew people at this time, out of slavery, the bondage of slavery to Egypt. And as he does, he turns and says, there's going to be a prophet like me, and he's going to do the same thing, and please listen to him. He's foretelling Jesus. If you fast forward the story, you start in the New Testament by a guy by the name of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector that Jesus went to his booth and said, follow me. And Matthew left tax collecting, left a luxury life to come and follow Jesus. Matthew became one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And later Matthew writes the gospel according to Matthew. And this is what he says. We realize in Matthew chapter 2, we like to view it as the Christmas story. Matthew 1 and 2 is the Christmas story. In Matthew 2, we are told that King Herod is ruling and he's upset that he hears there's a new king. You remember the Christmas story? The Magi come and they're like, hey, where's the king of the Jews? He's like, what king of the Jews? What are we talking about? I'm the king. And he gets mad and he sends out a decree to kill all males 2 and under. He wants to kill Jesus. And so we get there, and that's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15 says this, that eventually Mary and Joseph and Jesus are going to flee to Egypt to run away from this mass killing that King Herod's going to do. And this is what Matthew writes. He says, he, referring to Jesus, stayed there, which is Egypt, until Herod's death. Now, note to self, fun history fact, we know when Herod died. Herod died in 4 BC. So what does that mean? It means Jesus wasn't born in year zero. Jesus was probably born in 5 or 6 BC, around there. Because we know Herod dies in 4 BC. Herod's killing everyone 2 and younger. It has to put Jesus' birth around 5 or 6 BC. So that what was spoken to the Lord through the prophet, by the way, the prophet's Hosea, might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, at the time the prophet Hosea writes this, he's thinking about Israel as a nation. But Matthew realized he is calling Jesus, the Son of God, out of Israel or out of Egypt. And so here's what's so fascinating. Moses leads the Hebrew people out of Egypt, out of slavery. This is known as the first Exodus, right? Moses led the Exodus from the slavery to Egypt. He leads them out after 400 years and says, there's going to be a prophet like me. Listen to him. And then we're told at Jesus' birth, his family flees to Egypt. They get there. And eventually he's going to be called out, be raised in Israel, and he's going to become the second Moses, as Jesus is known, as the second Moses. Which the second Moses, Jesus, will lead a second Exodus like the first Moses. Except the first Moses led the Exodus from slavery to Egypt. Jesus will lead the Exodus from the slavery to sin. And that's what Jesus does. And so you have this now. We have the first Moses. We have the second Moses leading the Exodus. Here's what's fascinating about this word Egypt. Egypt's name in Hebrew is spelled like this, and it's pronounced Mitzrayma. Let me hear you say Mitzrayma. You literally spoke Hebrew, and when you're talking about Egypt, you can say Mitzrayma, which literally means anguish, troubles, that which oppresses. And did not Egypt, Mitzrayma, stand up to its name? It did exactly what it did. It oppressed people. Now, here's what's fascinating. 400 years in Egypt, Moses is going to lead, and now they're in the wilderness. They're not in the promised land that's up over there yet. They're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Some because of sin, but what is God doing in those 40 years? He's getting Egypt out of his people. He's getting the Egyptian culture. They knew their language. They knew their culture. They knew their deities, their pagan gods that they worshiped. And God is getting Egypt out of them. Why? God had to do that because they are going to Canaan, present day Israel, which in the ancient world, it is the crossroads of all land travel. So if you're traveling from Europe into Africa, you had to go through Israel. And God is saying in this moment, if you are going to represent me well to all the nations, I have to take Egypt out of you in order to put you at the perfect spot at the ancient crossroads of all land travel. Our God is brilliant to pick that location. Those people to say, represent me well. And here's the good news. That's your and I's calling today. Amen. Represent Jesus well, where you live, where you work, where you play, and where you learn. Yeah. See, Moses isn't leading our Exodus out of Egypt, but Jesus is leading our Exodus out of our Egypts, our sin. And know this. Jesus' life was written on the canvas of the Exodus, and his life is written on your Exodus. He is doing a work on you and in you to lead you out of sin. And here's the point of this devotion. There's an invitation on the table for all of us. And the invitation is very personal. The invitation is to leave Egypt behind. Leave your Egypt behind. Jesus did not come to die on the cross so you can keep going back to Egypt. He died on the cross to set you free. And that song that we started worship with, that's the sound of freedom. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, because he set me free. But here's the issue for you and I, and we know this. We all too often were caught back in our Egypt. We're caught back in that bitterness. We're caught back in that unforgiveness. We're caught back in the busyness. We're caught back in that addiction. We're caught back in fear, worry, anxiety. And we keep wanting to go back to Egypt. And did you know that's exactly what the Hebrew people wanted? They got out in the wilderness, they're like, we have nothing to eat. They complained to Moses. Oh, we want the leeks, we want the onions, we want the melons back there. Why are we out here? And they wanted to go back. Do you realize if they went back, they were slaves again? Please lean in. But that's what we do. We go back to the slavery of our sin. That holds us bondage. Let me make it ever personal to you. What is your Egypt? What is your Egypt? You know it. You know that thing. And here's what we say. We say, I'll never look at that image again, God, on that computer. I'm done with that. I won't look at that image again. And then men, 4 days later, we look at an image again. Lord, I promise not to get that bottle again. I'm not going to open up that bottle. I'm done. And then 4 days later, we're back at the bottle. We're going back to Egypt. God, I promise I'm done talking about people. I know it's bad. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I should not, because the devil, the enemy of our soul, wants to cause disunity among the people of God. I gotta stop. And then your group happens 3 days later. And how do you start group? Hey, did you know about this? Did you know about that? And it becomes gossip. And we're right back in Egypt. Do you know what the biggest thing in Egypt is? It's these things. It's these things. It's pyramids. And you know what the pyramids hold? Dead people. Because see, this is what you do every time you go back. You go back to being spiritually dead with your sin that wants to hold you bondage and hold you down. And Jesus is the complete opposite. Teens, you can make your way back up, the worship team. And we still go back to Egypt. Yet Jesus' words in John 10:10, this is why we say a fully alive disciple, is Jesus' words right here. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Or different translations will say, have it to the full. Yet we don't have that when we keep going back to Egypt. And I think every generation needs this. Particularly our young adults and our teens, you need this. Listen, we're all getting older, we're gonna die. Let's face reality. We are all dying. We are. I'm okay with it. I can't wait to meet Jesus. I mean, I still got things I want to do here. Don't get me wrong, Lord. Hold on, right? I don't fear death. Hey, for me to live is awesome. It's Christ. But to die is gain. Like, deuces out of this messed up world. Like, how awesome. Exodus. They got to the point where Moses led them, and they get out of Egypt. Moses is leading, and they're mad. They get to the body of water known as the Red Sea because they see another obstacle to their freedom. They thought they're free. Pharaoh is chasing them. They get to the Red Sea, and there's another obstacle. Has that ever happened to you? You thought you're free, and then here comes another obstacle right in front of you. And now the Hebrew people, they're terrified. And they start blaming Moses, saying, Moses, did Egypt not have enough tombs for us? That's why we got to die out here. And in the midst of it, it says this in 14, verse 13, but Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. And then I wonder if he said this tongue in cheek. He says, and you must be quiet. Because you're complaining. Be quiet. The Lord will fight for you. Please hear it. Some of us, you've left your Egypt, but you got another obstacle in front of you. For the Hebrew people, it's the Red Sea. For those others of you, you're still going back to Egypt, but you feel freedom from Egypt, but you got the Red Sea, another obstacle in front of you. Please know this, the Lord will fight for you. And so many problems in our Christian walk is we see the obstacle again, and we just throw in the towel and say, I can't do this. And we go back to what we know, our Egypts, even though that is enslaving us. We just go back right there because it feels even though we know this is it, it feels normal to ourselves. I'm praying today that we're gonna shed Egypt. And sometimes it's really difficult because it feels like it's a part of you. And you're like, what happens if I lose this jacket? This Egypt, whatever this represents, and I shed it off. Now I feel weird. It's a new thing. And yeah, it's called a new creation. It's called the work of Holy Spirit sanctifying you to look more like Jesus Christ in your life. It's a good thing. And then when you get through and you hear that obstacle, know that the Lord God will fight for you. You can make it through. And for the Hebrew people, the Lord is going to part this sea. And they're gonna walk through on dry ground when they get on the other side, and the waters are gonna come in on the Egyptian army. They get on the other side, and you know what their response is to their deliverance? It's song. Look at Exodus chapter 15, the first two verses. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. This is their song of deliverance. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. For he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. He threw the Egyptian army into the sea. Whatever you're facing, the Lord, it will fight for you. He will throw whatever your Egypt is into the sea for you. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. This is my God. And look at the response. And I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. That's your song of deliverance. So when you're faced up against your last obstacle, you feel like you've left your Egypt and you're walking in life is great and this thing comes in your way, know this, the Lord will fight for you. And on the other side, there is deliverance. But the Lord will, according to his promises, provide a way. He will split the sea so you can walk right through it. And you will know, I will fight for you. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I see you in the midst of all of them. Will you trust me? When everything starts to close in, will you trust me? Stand there and I'll split your sea. This team is gonna lead us into two songs before we take communion. The first is, I'm no longer a slave. The second is, this is a move. And our altars are gonna be open for you to, if you wanna come down and lay your Egypt down. Allow these songs to truly be your song of deliverance today. If you wanna come down in the corners, that's okay. You can kneel there as well. But our altars are open for you to lay down your Egypt and plead with God. God, I need you to split the sea, a highway, so I can walk right through this obstacle I'm facing. So church family, will you please stand and let me pray into this song. Father God, would you make a way? We know you are the way maker. You're a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. God, may it be true. May we be like the Hebrew people as Moses led. Let this truly be a praise to you and an exaltation. May it be prophetic words today over our lives, over our situations, that you're gonna split the sea and we'll walk right through it. And in the midst of it, we know our identity. We are a son, we are a daughter, we are a child of you, God. For we put our lives into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name.